WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, January 26th. Coming up, a conversation with the CEO of i3 Broadband. Paul Cronin will talk about increased demand for broadband service during the pandemic and much more. His conversation with Tim Shelley coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says the United States will not put up with a Russian attempt to invade Ukraine. During a press conference yesterday in Tazewell County, Durbin called Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin a thug and a bully. He also expressed sympathy for Ukrainians.
This country of 43 million people is scared to death that he's going to invade and try to take over their country. They are not part of the NATO alliance, but I think I'm very proud of the fact that our country is standing up for them and saying no one should do that to a sovereign and free nation. They should be able to decide their own future. It shouldn't be decided by Moscow.
Durbin says President Joe Biden is making the right call in his approach to handling the situation. Durbin's remarks came shortly after Russia launched new military exercises near Ukraine and Crimea, a formerly Ukrainian peninsula annexed by Russia in 2014. A naturally occurring geological feature in Illinois could help offset carbon emissions. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, that's why two companies are proposing pipelines that would store carbon deep underground in Illinois.
Deep under most of Illinois lies a layer of sandstone. Salt water fills the gaps between the particles of sand. Carbon dioxide can be pumped in liquid form into that salt water and stored there for potentially millions of years. Sally Greenberg is the principal scientist on energy and minerals at the Illinois State Geological Survey. She said on the 21st show that storing carbon in these sandstone pores can help reduce carbon emissions and help mitigate climate change.
You know, the expectation is that landowners are compensated for the use of their pore space, and it really becomes a natural resource for the state of Illinois.
Two separate companies, including agriculture giant Archer Daniels Midland, are proposing carbon pipelines that would end up in sandstone formations in Illinois. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
This morning's dangerously cold temperatures have forced at least one local school district to cancel classes. Because of the forecasted wind chills and a lack of school bus drivers, Danville District 118 says it's closed today. The district says it wants to avoid having children wait at the bus stop or walk to school this morning. The National Weather Service has issued a wind chill advisory for much of our listening area until 9 o'clock this morning. Wind chill readings this morning dropped to 15 degrees below zero. Meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says bitterly cold Arctic air has settled into our region, but warmer weather is on the way.
High temperatures will top out in the teens on Wednesday afternoon before rebounding into the 30s on Thursday.
For the forecast anytime, head over to the Illinois Newsroom Facebook or Twitter pages. The Illinois men's basketball team is back in first place in the Big Ten Conference after a 56-55 win last night over 10th-ranked Michigan State in Champaign. Trent Frazier led all scorers with 16 points. The Illini were without center Kofi Coburn, who missed his second straight game with a concussion, and guard Andre Curbelo, who is in the team's COVID-19 safety protocols. Still to come, we'll hear from the CEO of i3 Broadband. He'll discuss increased demand and the challenges of bringing broadband to rural areas. That conversation is coming up next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The internet has taken on an even larger role in work and play alike during the COVID-19 pandemic. Tim Shelley spoke with Paul Cronin, CEO of East Peoria-based i3 Broadband, about how they handle that increased demand and the company's growth.
Sure. I mean, certainly the internet, since its inception, has been important to our economy and other facets of life. But I think the whole pandemic just accentuated that and just further brought it to light. And in fact, what we're seeing now is, you know, demand and usage go up because now you've got both, in many cases, both mom and dad or both parents in the home working from home. You've got the children doing their schooling from home. So the consumption is just really going through the roof, and the dependency on broadband to get the education and work and every other environment done. So it really has, you know, as I said, accentuated the importance of broadband in terms of a driver of education and driver of business.
So how do you handle all of that extra capacity? Does that put a load on your ability to deliver it all, or do you have to make adjustments, extra bandwidth, things like that?
Well, thankfully, our company is building fiber optics right to the home. And so the capacity is not an issue. I mean, we're offering speeds of 1 gig symmetrical, 1 gig up, 1 gig down, which is not common in the marketplace today with the incumbent providers. And, you know, the new networks we're building are 10 gig capable up and down. So we have not seen the strain on our network, but we have heard loud and clear from our consumers that they appreciate the capacity. And, you know, so many devices are connected in the home, as you know, whether it's your little phone device, your tablets, and go on the list. I mean, some people have 100 devices connected in their home. So we have not seen the strain on our networks because, again, it's fiber directly into the home.
What's it take to run a fiber optic network like that? Because I understand i3's running their own fiber optic cable, right?
That's correct. We're constructing and building our own network, and there's a long process from start to finish in terms of the planning and coordination, getting the right permits and rights of way. Most of our plant, with the exception of the Northeast, is underground. So again, getting the permitting and rights of way usage is important. You know, materials ordering, and you know, that's another issue we'll probably talk about in terms of the impact on supply chain and materials and what that's meant for our construction. But again, it's a very detailed process that you know, we've got down pat. We're in just under 100 communities at this point and growing quickly. We'll add another just under 20 more communities this year. So we've got a good plan and kind of rhythm to our construction at this point.
I know it's been both the focus of the governor's capital package and then also with the federal infrastructure bill just passed. How do those things affect you? Do those present new opportunities for you to expand or grow?
It does. There's the federal programs, there's state programs, there's even city programs out there, there's even private public partnerships that we're talking to. So there's a lot of interest and there's a lot of money available for the expansion of broadband per the president's plan and goals. You know, we have some very, I think, positive partnerships in the case of Jacksonville, Illinois, in the case of Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. We've got partnerships. We're talking to the newly elected mayor of Peoria, Mayor Ali, about opportunities as part of her economic development program to partner with the city on some things. And so it's really finding the right partnership that meets the needs of the community and as well as the companies. We're not reliant on any type of funding to construct, but to the extent that there are good partnerships out there that, you know, meet the community's needs. We've talked to a lot of communities, we've done a lot of partnerships, and we'll continue to be open to them. A lot of the federal dollars we have not necessarily tapped into. They are appropriately targeting rural areas that just don't have any broadband access at this point. And so I think rightfully so, those dollars to get into the more rural communities, which again, that's a wise investment.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges, I guess, of getting out in the rural communities? Because i3 is mainly more of urban centric, but can you talk just generally about what some of those challenges might be?
Yeah. I mean, in the case of suburbia or urban, I mean, you're talking density of, you know, 40, 50 or more homes per mile. Out in the more rural communities, as you know, there just aren't that many homes or farms or in between the distances. So you're building a lot of fiber optic plant to pass, you know, relatively few homes. And so the cost is far greater in terms of the return on that kind of, on that investment. And I think that's why, the federal government is wisely looking to how they incentivize companies to get out into those rural areas and to make sure, you know, despite living in, you know, not very populated areas, they have the same access to broadband as people that live in the cities and suburbia.
That's i3 Broadband CEO Paul Cronin talking with Tim Shelley about increased internet demand and his company's response to it. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be sunny and cold today with a high of 21 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Alam, Emily Hayes, Reginald Hardwick, and Tim Shelley. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.